Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
With all the emotion and politics flying around these days, with so many journos and pundits and political players pushing our agendas on the tragedy of Florida, let's not forget one horrific thing, okay? The one horrific thing was that this monster got a gun and killed 17 people and wounded others in that high school in Florida. That's the horrific thing, and the mourning and the sadness of the parents and the loved ones and the kids who survived, that's the horrific thing. But, you know, we're human. And then came horrific politics as usual. A few nutballs on the far right, conspiracy theorists, even people like Dinesh D'Souza, hounded the students, wove conspiracies, mocked them, played on emotion to drive clicks to do their business. And that is shameful. But they weren't the only ones who were shameful. There was a truly shameful CNN town hall meeting, billed as a conversation of guns. But really, what was it? It was 2 minutes of hate. Orwellian hate, driving a mob on the Second Amendment. And a mob that was frightened, that it was injured, that was emotionally damaged. That's not policy. That's driving emotion. And emotion isn't policy. It's politics. And snark by pundits appealing to tribalism isn't analysis. It's cynical and shameful. And using bereaved children as shields, as your weapons in the policy wars, is shameful too. So journalists who do this, and politicians, are themselves shameful. What's truly shameful about what CNN did was the snarky demagoguery of Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel. He played to the kids, he told them to vote, to stand up and shred that Bill of Rights. But the next day we learned that he had a deputy sheriff there at school. The guy was armed, and the deputy hid outside in a safe place rather than go in and face danger like so many other law enforcement officers do every day, running to danger, like the late Chicago Police Commander Paul Bauer. Law enforcement failed these children on every level, failed their families, failed the state, failed the people of America, from the FBI on down. But CNN focuses on shredding the Bill of Rights. It's not good policy, it's not even good politics, because of that shameful Orwellian display, that 2 minutes of hate that'll be repeated again and again and again by the right-to-bear-arms people. There's a good chance that they've hurt their own cause in key states like Pennsylvania and Ohio. CNN doesn't care. It got the ratings. It got the clicks. But it's shameful. We've got other things to talk about. Governor Rauner loves chocolate milk, ye gods. Those emotional support animals on planes that bite kids in the face, and more. And our old friend Lauren Cohn drops by for a visit. Remember, we used to have a radio show together, and we'll read the questions you asked on Facebook. As always, the old producer of that Lauren Cohn, John Cash show, my podcast partner here, is Jeff Carlin, is ready with his own quirky observations and wit. I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to find us on iTunes and give us a review. And maybe I'll read some if they're good enough because, well, hey, this is Chicago and there are no coincidences in Chicago, are there? I'm John Cass, columnist at the Chicago Tribune, and this is the Chicago Way.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
Castle.
So, Jeff Carlin.
Hey, John.
How you doing, boy?
Oh, man, what a week. We're ahead and a week behind. Jeez.
Yeah, it was like last week was Paul Bauer and his family. That was hard enough.
Well, yeah, 2 weeks ago. Last week was the Olympics, the crying games. And the politics of gun control. I know in your monologue you talked about the CNN town hall, and I'm with you on that. I think it was forced. You know, I know it just seemed weird, but I do give kudos to Marco Rubio for agreeing to do that and be there, knowing it was going to be a proverbial shit show. I mean, I commend him for that. You know, standing up for what
Dana
he believed.
What about Dana Lash or Lash, whatever?
Lash. Yeah,
she went in there too and stood there.
I commend them for standing up and believing obviously what they believe and facing an audience that was not on their side.
What did the audience want? I mean, the kids, I'm not going to criticize the
kids. No, absolutely.
And the community's all upset, mm-hmm. right? So they are full of passion and legitimate good the right passion, the passion of wanting to live, survive, right?
And change their world, the world they see and what they see wrong
Correct.
In the world.
But what is there anything about passion? I tried to hit this last week in a satire about the Olympic Games where we weep and cry
right.
and everything's emotion. What is it about passion that our founders worried about?
They've worried about the rush to passion. I mean, that's why the Constitution is written and can only be changed through a very meticulous set of actions. It's designed to keep people from jumping, ahead and doing something that doesn't necessarily need to be done.
Or, jump one way or another, depending
right,
on the politics, right?
Right. And I mean ahead in the process.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no... checks and balances. It's all about checks and balances. And checks and balances aren't there necessarily so much to keep power from being shifted one way or the other, because they're all equal, obviously.
But
they're there
care?
To protect us from the emotion that people in that seat would have. And but that's why the TV is not the forum for that. I mean, it's one thing to put together a town hall after an event, a week or two after an event for TV, and say, oh, we're going to do this. It's going to be great. People are going to want to know. It's more, that's the circus. I mean, that's really what you're capitalizing on. It's like the reporters on the street, and it's not their fault. This is what they get paid to do. This is their job. But the reporters on the street outside that school talking to kids who are coming out who are completely frazzled, completely emotional, and then putting it out there. And then it reeks of capitalizing on something that doesn't need to be capitalized on.
We used to call it in the print end, pimping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where you pimp the emotion.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty to go around. There's plenty of legitimate emotion. But one of the great things I like about the Chicago Way is that we're in the news business, and Lauren Cohn's going to come on. She's spent years in the news business and still should be in
the
news business.
Absolutely.
But as a news producer, how did you see the way it was shifting from human tragedy, drama and all that, important stuff, to driving a political agenda? As a producer, how did you see it? And is there a backlash from people who see it, who may not agree with that agenda, and then start turning off and going to some other place?
Yeah, I think it's a lot more of what we've seen, especially since, it's been at the forefront, really, since the election, running up to the 2016 election, that there was this idea that people are all emotion, and if you can find the story of the emotion and people getting, offended or in each other's faces or clashing at a rally or clashing at an event, it doesn't do anybody any good, because it does kind of push people away. It does.
I mean, as a producer of a news program, doesn't it drive clicks?
It does. It does. But that's the toughest thing. I mean, as a producer, I've been asked to try to track down relatives or mm-hmm. family or people who are where in terrible things have happened. And it's one of those things where I don't do it. I wouldn't do it. I don't cold call to try to track down a family member of someone who is injured or dead, because I don't, as a human being, my soul feels dark doing that. Because,
well, welcome to the dark soul of John Cass, because that's
oh, yeah.
First thing you do as a print reporter, your kid and you go out there and get the photo of the dead.
Mm-hmm.
In the day, we used to get the photo of the dead, and the editors demanded, you know, we need a photo of this person.
Right.
And so you'd go and talk to the family and convince them that it was important. And they would give it to you as if it were a treasure, which it was. Mm-hmm. And they weren't ready.
Yeah.
Now it's all internet. You have some gangbanger, you grab his picture off the
Facebook or whatever. Yeah.
Or, you know, you don't do the Facebook with the guns and the blunt. You do the Facebook of the cap and gown.
Right. School photo.
Depending
on what emotion you're trying to reach.
Exactly, right?
Yeah, I don't trust cable TV, you know, at all. Either side. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. And that's the scary part. I mean, there was a time in this country when there were only, you know, maybe one handful of three stations, but they were all strictly... It was strictly controlled as to what they could do. I mean, when they were, if the public at large thought what they were doing was not good for society, we could come down and say, hey, you know what? You overstepped the line. You know, this is, stop doing that.
Correct.
And with the rise of cable TV, that is unfettered content.
Emotion and punditry.
Right. And it is designed essentially to keep people eyes on it like a train wreck. They capitalize on that, and it's not good for us as a society on the whole, I don't think.
What about, isn't the same thing applied to broadcast to radio? Where you have an audience, we're in a blue, like I'm in a different category because I'm a newspaper guy, a conservative, perhaps a constitutional monarchist even, in a blue state, in a blue city, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm the guy, Kristen McQuarrie and I think, maybe one or two others are the people on the cookie,
right?
Crumbling around with, you know, milk and liberal milk crumbling the cookie around us. But mostly, I think most people in our business are liberal, progressive, liberal, believe in government, and it's hard for them to see, to come to grips with the fact that government failed in all these instances in this young man's life and in protecting the children. And so where do we go? We reach to the emotional thing.
Right.
It's easier, right?
Yeah, it's easier. It's more captivating. I mean, you have to get somebody, to sell somebody on an intellectual argument or a discussion that is based on based on facts and based on observation and based on just science in general. It's a lot harder to retain somebody's information. That's why scientific journals aren't the number one selling magazine, and that's why
political journals aren't either.
Right? Yeah, but those again are based on at least on fact in a sense. Depending on how you use facts, and obviously facts can be used for whatever. But aside from that, you don't get that response. I mean, when working in radio, one of the best pieces or one of the pieces where it's most captivating, or we have the biggest response from an audience, is emotion. But it's not emotion, you know, we're on the scene of an incident and we're reacting to unbridled emotion that has, you know, only thing that has behind it is the last few moments of that person's existence or their immediate reaction to something. The emotion that is the strongest is stuff where, like, for instance, when the commander Paul Bauer was killed, you know, we were broadcasting from the auto show.
McCormick Place,
the last place you really want to be when there's local on next door breaking news that is impactful. But it was really captivating because Ro and Anna, one, very involved in very involved in the police, you know, they both do benefits for different charities. It struck them. So they struck them emotionally, but they are trained to sift through that emotion in a way that isn't just spiraling, unfettered discussion. Correct. That's just out there and anything can happen.
Professionals.
Right, and that training makes it interesting. That their ability to distill what's happening in real time and make sense of it and help people make sense of it, that's the stuff that's even more captivating and is really hard to do. I mean, look at the most one of the most famous pieces of tape in America is the post Kennedy shooting when they're working through at CBS trying to figure out what's happening, and they call it, they're like, it's confirmed. But that was a professional group of professionals working through facts.
Trained in print.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And
wire service guys, Frank mm-hmm. Reynolds, all those guys.
Absolutely.
Cronkite.
But it's to this day, it's one of those pieces that's way more captivating. And no knock on any of these kids or any of these people talking out.
It's not them.
It's their humans that they're reacting to what's being put in front of them. But no one's gonna look back on the tape of kids running out of a school in Florida, you know, years from now, being like, wow. That was really impactful, but they're going to look back at the shooting, the reaction to the finalized, determined, you know, completely vetted information that our president had been killed. That tape will live forever because it is emotion, but it's emotion that isn't just reactionary. It's emotion that is, you know, the end goal was finding out that
the
piece.
Facts.
Right.
And then assessing the impact of the fact mm-hmm. rather than pushing the politics before the facts were all known, as with Steve Israel, you know?
Right.
I also wanted to say, Ro and Anna devoted, and you, as the producer of that show, devoted some measure of time to Paul Bauer, okay? Mm-hmm. And I wanted to thank WGN Television as well for covering that thing, covering the funeral. With Father Reverend Brandt and everyone.
Yep.
And I thought that was very important to do, a public service. And I noticed that there were some people who couldn't, in my business, that didn't write about it or couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. You know what I mean? It's just like maybe too much. Maybe they didn't have a snarky angle about it. Maybe it wasn't satire enough.
Wow.
There was no satire to write. And without casting aspersions on anyone else, the reason why WGN, I think, is important in Chicago, the reason why the Chicago Tribune is important and the Sun-Times, is that you have people there who are from here. We're from Chicago. When I say the Chicago way, when you say the Chicago way, we know what we're talking about because that is the way. And when you're from a place, you understand it organically. And there's nothing that, to me, that expressed the grace of the city like that letter from Mrs. Bauer to the people of Chicago. But you have to be from here to get, you're not just flying in from, you know, with a suitcase. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got to understand it. And then you have to say, the police commander shot, this is a story. I have to. People expect me to write about it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Chicago has this, you know, this persona of being the biggest little city in the world because we have all these neighborhoods and we have that kind of that backwater small town feel that the city developed from. You know, it mm-hmm. wasn't founded by barons trying to make a port so they could move goods across the ocean. You know, we were this point that people are like, oh, well, we got here. Let's stay for a while, you know, that kind of thing. Fresh water, good greens. What are we going to do? What do we have to complain about?
Polish hot dogs
exactly.
Right here with grilled onions.
I think that's the true, I mean, that's the blood that runs through all Chicagoans who have to deal with all our seasons and deal with the things we do.
Our politics.
And I think it makes us that small town. So I think that, like you said, that her letter really kind of encapsulated that concept and that understanding that, you know, if a death happens to all of us when it's somebody who is fighting for all of us, and it's
she was graceful. It was so
very graceful. Yeah.
All right. Can I talk about something that's not graceful? I know we want to get Lauren, but the not graceful thing is, what do you need a pet hamster for sitting on your lap when you're in a plane?
What about a peacock? Can I get a pet peacock?
What about this dog that bit the kid in the face?
Yeah.
And what about Governor Rauner? I can't wait to ask Lauren about this. And by the way, is before Lauren gets here, because I know she'll probably listen to this and we're all friends, but when it came time to put for her to come on, I was like, man, it's like putting the band back together. It's like weird, you know what I mean? And
sure.
It's a good thing. She's right. She's not right when we're speaking. She's downstairs. She's always doing her prep work like she always does.
Why can't we be friends? 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 I seen ya, I seen ya, I seen ya walking down to Chinatown. I called ya.
Okay, so the buzz is already going through the Tribune Tower because of our next guest who's here, and people are walking by, coming into the studio. Oh, what's going on? I just wanted to check something. Oh, what's happening? It's the way news people are, because who's here but none other than Lauren Cohn. Hey, Lauren.
This is like the exciting reunion show. I'm so happy to be with you, John Cass, and Jeff Carlin. Because it's been, what, 2 years since we were all together?
2 years.
On the air? Together? More than 2 years?
Yeah.
Well, I got fired first. Lauren got fired later.
Did you go in before me?
I went in before you. It was a day, remember, I was pushing this idea, let's have, the city needs a runoff election.
Right.
For mayor.
Yep.
And Jeff stayed for a while. But that's water under the bridge, guys, right?
Indeed.
Right? We don't want to be bitter and, you know. Right?
No, we're not bitter.
We're having fun now. But, Lauren, here's the deal. We're talking about she's coming on the night before we recorded this. And Lauren texts us about Sheriff Steve Israel in Florida, whose deputy, he had a deputy with a gun outside the school, and the guy didn't come in.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like amazing, right? Oh, my God. Israel demagoguing it on CNN for all the kids, and then now he's going to take the wrath of the parents. Lauren's doing all this the way Lauren usually does, in a bubble bath.
I have to say that. You know, the news never sleeps, even if you get into the bathtub. I was trying to find pictures of the three of us because we wanted to put it on social media.
In a bubble
bath. I didn't want to get my phone wet. So I don't even want to give you the picture of sloshing in the Epsom salt bubble bath or trying to find those photographs, looking at what's going on in the news. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good, though. You know, it's funny. I listen to, I usually have Fox or CNN up on, like, in the Bluetooth speaker in my shower. So I'm with you. I'm always working.
So, guys, we asked people on Facebook for questions. We got a lot of questions. First of all,
are these questions about the news?
Oh, these are so personal. The kind she hated.
Cover everything.
The kind she hated.
We only got a little bit of the Florida shooting out.
You were always good at the, like, let's deal with the news, the personal.
Well, okay, but I listened to you both.
Man.
Both of you did not want green drinks as a gift today. So I did bring in, I did bring in the kale chips. I love the listeners. I brought in some decadent chocolates, but here's the key. They're dark chocolate and they're organic. So I had to go over to the holistic side for the two of you.
Disappointed if they weren't.
Oxidants.
Yes.
Whatever those are. What are they?
Antioxidants.
Antioxidants.
You don't want the oxidants.
What's good for you?
What's good for you? Okay, let me get to some questions, eh?
Hey.
Or sure. First, no, you know what?
By the way, you look very nice in your suit and tie.
Pardon?
He looks nice in his suit and tie, doesn't he?
How long
have
I been doing this now?
Over a year.
Right.
John comes every day. He's in the tower. He's dressed like a gentleman.
Because he used to dress in jeans and just a...
Shirt. He takes the playbook out of the Dan Proft wear. Would be a comfortable pants and a sweatshirt.
That's why when he knocks on the doors of cars that were parked outside of WLS, remember this happened with one of my ex-boyfriends? They didn't know who he was. Was this like a cop or an undercover agent checking me out? Do you remember
DEA,
that?
Yeah, right, yeah. Excuse me, sir. Please exit the vehicle.
No quick movements.
Are you dating Lauren Cohn or what? So what have you been doing, man?
Nothing, absolutely nothing.
Yeah, you're a liar. What have you been doing? People want to know. They're tuning in like from 9 to 11 for years. We did this thing together. People want to know.
So they tossed me around in the fill-in cycle over at WLS. So I'm still doing that. I'm also a contributing writer to Chicago Woman Magazine. And you both know that I started my own media consulting business numerous years ago. So that was back in 2013. So I do a lot of media training and consulting, mostly outside of Chicago.
What do people need to know about dealing with the media, Lauren? Because you deal with executives and others who, you know, I'm going to be talking to reporters. What do you tell them? How do you train them?
Don't tell them anything off the record. Nothing is really off the record, right?
Right, nothing. We never forget a thing.
You never forget a thing. Be prepared.
We're like the mother-in-law
the
world.
Think of the three questions that you fear a reporter's going to ask you, and that's what you prepare for. And then I quote Henry Kissinger, and do you remember this, John? I answer the three questions I wish reporters would ask. So he only has like three answers for all the questions reporters will ask.
That
Those are my tips.
Key. Is that not the key, especially with broadcast, right? You have so much time. Just stick to your message, and
that's no matter it. What they no matter ask how you. Many times John Cass asks you a question, no matter how many times you ask Governor Rauner. Remember when he announced on our show that he was running for governor?
Yeah. On our show.
On our show.
He's forgotten that.
and you were like, first of all, why do you want to do this? Two, do you really know who runs the state? And do you think you're going to be able to get anything done with Speaker Madigan? That was pretty funny in those days.
You know, I'd forgotten that. He did announce.
Well, but you used to hound him, though, on questions about, are you for same-sex marriage? Remember, he would not answer the question. Right. You would ask it like 20 times.
I never asked him about Sanctuary City.
That wasn't a thing yet.
It wasn't a thing.
Is and he I a never Democrat asked him now? About... Is the governor? Has the governor around or become a Democrat?
No, but he's married to one, so it's hard to, you know, live with both worlds.
Because he's got the Democratic whisperer, Diana Rauner. So, but is he with what happened with HB 40 and taxpayer-funded abortions for state workers and sanctuary cities? Is Jeannie Ives the only Republican now running for governor?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, if you ask anyone below, you know, south of Kankakee, yes. That's for sure. Although up here, she's a Madigan lackey, apparently.
What do you make of that ad? That ad is got to be.
You know what it is?
The most ridiculous. To call Jeannie Ives a Madigan.
It's insane.
Lackey.
It's like saying, never mind. I'm going to take that back.
It's like calling me a commie.
Yeah, exactly. But it's we're a socialist. Even.
Yeah, socialist. A Bernie bro.
It's a case study in doing running politics and not saying things, saying certain keywords. Because if you notice, Rauner has never once said Donald Trump's name. I mean, never once. Maybe he references the president. He won't outright.
The administration, he says.
Yeah, the administration or the what, you know, that's right. He won't say it because he knows as soon as those words come out of his mouth, it's going to be in every ad against him ad nauseum. And nobody told Jeannie Ives this about Mike Madigan, and she has been feeling it.
And nothing can touch Mike Madigan, even this whole sexual harassment and underlings.
Bobby Rita. How you doing, Bob? Bobby Rita, I miss you.
I love
you
that column,
Blue.
By the way. But will anything ever touch
Madigan? He's not
here.
Madigan? He's next door. He's next door. He's not here. Is he at the Yiddo place? No, he's not. I don't know. Maybe check. Oh, no, he's not there either.
At least it's an interesting governor's race, and the mayoral race will be interesting, too. Paul Vallis is back.
Paul Vallis is back. Polls are coming out now, Lauren. People with means in this town are going to have to start figuring it out because really Rahm was installed by the oligarchy in a way because they knew that chaos was coming. The wheels were falling off Daley's bus, right? Now, I don't know if the polling is that good for Mayor Emanuel.
I see Gary McCarthy at the gym almost every single day. Yeah, he's in shape, I'll tell you that much.
Really?
I see him in the grocery aisle at the Jewel over in our neighborhood.
Does he ever ask you out or anything?
He's married.
He's married now. Right. Sorry, Superintendent.
Right.
Yeah.
Oops.
Oops.
Oops. So?
So, no, he's never asked me out. Yeah. But, again, another interesting race.
Yeah.
It's not just going to be the Rahm factor.
No, and it'll be, we might have some others in the race, too. Maybe Bridget Gaynor.
Is there any Republican that's ever going to run for mayor of Chicago?
I thought Rahm was the Republican.
Among that group.
You know? I don't know. Politics are so, I don't know, they're so depressing lately, aren't they? They're liars and schemers, connivers.
It's the Chicago Way. It's the name of your show.
True.
No.
We wouldn't have anything to do without it.
I don't know. All right, let's get to some questions from Lauren Cohn. I put these out on Facebook, Lauren, and there were many people that... you know, like, okay, one guy, Pat Hickey, she's a nice kid. Another said, Maureen Blaylock, I'm a longtime listener back to Larry Lujak. I'm like, Lauren wasn't even born then.
Okay. But I like the one who called me a kid, considering.
Yeah, kid.
I'm a card-carrying member of AARP.
Here's one, Dirk Richmond, I miss you guys together. And here's from Reno Pauly, Lauren was great on radio as well as TV. Why isn't she employed in this town? Do they not like a responsible journalist? That's my question, too. Damn it.
That's so nice of you that my two supporters in here. You both could be my agents. I'll give you a fee if you can get me a job in this town, for sure.
There you go.
Why pay an agent when I can pay the two of you?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. All right. People are listening to us from all over the country. Hi, Jody Jenkins Donaldson. My hubby and I used to listen to you guys back in the days. I'm glad she's back for a visit. Irene Juppie, you two should be back on the air together.
Maybe back at WLS now that they've gotten rid of the new format that they're created. They got rid of the sports teams. They're going back to the old format.
The problem with that is that it takes work, okay?
Well, that's where Jeff came in.
Oh, right. Yeah, there you go.
What was it like, Jeff, dealing with us like when we were on our bad days fighting?
Oil and water at times.
The two of us?
Yeah, sometimes. Well, I mean, especially the personal stuff. I mean, there were times where the politics was, you guys are always had your A game for that. Right. But then we would want to wade into something goofy or non sequitur about the world or some story at the time.
And John wanted to kill me.
John wanted to kill you. Yeah, health thing. And John's
the health thing.
John's like, we have someone on talking about the newest healthy trend or something that could save our life. And John's like, I'm going to step out for a cigarette during this. If you guys could just
not come back into the chocolate.
Let me know
soda
when the break
call.
Definitely a disrespectful attitude there. All right, here's one from Nicholas Grapsis. Is it true? Were all the most brilliant questions that were asked during the tenure of your excellent radio show that you and that John bullied them away from you so he could take all the credit for them, all the good questions?
Absolutely not.
You always have good questions.
But I will say this, disclosed to your listeners, and that is that I take copious notes, and the two of you have always made fun of me. I'm always overly prepared. So I was here early, down in the cafe, of course, texting them, oh, I got here early, which I did because I needed to open up my iPad and see what was going on and to prepare, right? So I tell my media training clients, and you two love to make fun of me.
She would come in, okay, with like not one but like three yellow legal pads full of stuff.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And it was all about stuff I didn't know about, like the economy and like the bond business and things. I'm like, what is that? I don't know.
Well, I didn't need to write down anything about politics, John, because you knew all that.
All right, listen, here's another one. Loved you guys on the air, from Christine Arangus Morley. Went to one of your cooking luncheons just east of Halsted by Randolph. Question, what's Lauren been doing? And will you ever do one of those remote cooking things again?
That was fun. Do you remember when we did that?
It was like at a restaurant, like a Asian fusion.
Yes. Huh? Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Carnival, right?
Was it a carnival?
Yeah, I do believe.
And it was Chef Cass. Because you have such great recipes. Everyone knows they don't look at my recipes.
Come on, man. You do that like beautiful turkey, like fruit turkey thing.
The fruit turkey plate, right. I do design the and Jeff makes the some bourbon pie.
Yeah.
But nothing.
But did it have gluten?
It was full of gluten.
It's full of gluten. And you know, when I'm having a bad day, that's what I always say. I'm just going to go have a bowl of gluten when I'm instead of a thing of Ben and Jerry's. I just want a bowl of gluten. But you were the turkey ball hotline on Thanksgiving, right? Everybody wanted Casso's tips on cooking
but
a turkey.
But I like the fruit turkey.
I still want to understand what brining is, but I know we don't have two hours.
You soak some meat in a dish. All right, Bob Schuld looked at our photo that you posted. He said it looked like a promo for Beauty and the Beast. True?
That is Bob. Bob.
Here's from Tom Winicky. A question for Lauren Cohn. Will you be wearing any Philadelphia Eagles gear on the mean streets of Chicago, considering they beat the Bears last season 31-5?
All right, I will say this, that everyone knows I did two tours in Philadelphia, and I came back to Chicago because I love Chicago. But when Philadelphia was in it to win it, I was on the Philadelphia bandwagon. So I was so happy for the Eagles and all my friends at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, does that mean that you're wearing the jersey?
I don't have any of the clothes. It's funny. I texted all my friends who were on the field, and I said, I don't even have a shirt or a baseball cap to wear.
Philly?
Yeah, nothing. I have zipped.
She does have that kind of New York, Philly attitude. Did you ever notice that about her? She is, for all the gracious, she's a gracious lady. She has the voice of an angel, as you can tell. And but she does have that in-your-face
New York
thing. A little
bit of grit, edginess.
A little edgy New York thing going on. Okay, wait. Here's Hi Claudette. Of course we have questions. How do you cook a 7-course Lenten meal?
No clue.
I don't know. No clue. Okay.
I don't cook a 7-course anything. It's a 7-minute dish. That's what I cook.
Jeff Carlin, this is like we're back in the day.
Except for he's behind the glass. I don't like that. I want to feel closer to Jeff.
It's for a reason.
You have double duty. You're doing
well. No, it's because John's allergic to cats, and so
is that why the two of you have a divider between you? Seriously, yep.
Otherwise John becomes a sniffly mess, and it's a disaster.
Just Jeff comes in with hairs.
He comes with. There's not. He does. He has a great cats who love me. They're part of the Cats Who Love John cast group on the hashtag.
Is that like the little bike people?
Yes, but the opposite.
Lauren, if you want to piss people, go try. The little bike people, that's one thing. But if you piss off the crazy cat ladies, I'll never forget.
There's a strong overlap with those two groups. But yes.
Is there?
That's my biggest fear, that being still single, that I'm going to end up being the cat lady. And I'm allergic to cats.
Yeah, good. That's why, you know, another reason.
Disastrous.
Why she's civilized.
I still want to get a dog. I'm still talking about that 5 years later. I still want the husky puppy. Seriously, nothing ever changes in my life.
I have to say that a husky would be good for you because, like, you're always going everywhere. You know, bing, 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 and huskies do that too. But I think, don't you need like a pet therapy animal that you?
I
can
need
take
a lot on? Of therapy, John.
You can
a
take
lot
on a plane, like a little pug or something.
Probably now with the rate I'm going, me and a therapy dog would be perfect.
What do you think? Okay, let's talk. Let's dish now. Okay.
Right,
what's
here.
Going on, Lauren? Come on, let's hear it. What do you mean? You okay? You're good.
I'm
you look
good.
Great.
I'm good.
You're fantastic.
Thank you.
Look good and everything.
I'm out there. I'm a working gal every day.
So, what is your view on pet therapy animals on airplanes? This is back at WLS now.
So, is that do you have to pay for the extra ticket for the extra seat? And what does that cost? Are you allowed to just bring the what happens if you have an allergy and somebody brings a cat on the plane?
That's what I said.
You can't put the animals in the cargo hold where they'll die.
What about that poor hamster? Did you hear about that one?
There was a hamster on an airplane.
Oh yeah, jeez.
I don't know the story.
Let Jeff tell the story because I want to look at Lauren's face because okay. She won't believe it if it comes from me.
So there was I don't know the particulars because I skimmed this story, but I know that a woman tried to bring her pet hamster on a plane. And
her therapy
pet hamster.
Was it in a cage?
Yeah, a little carrier thing. But she was told she couldn't do that. And she really had to get wherever she was going. So she decided that she needed to flush said hamster.
Oh, that's right.
She flushed the hamster down the toilet.
In the bathroom when the plane was in the air?
Yeah. This is like Silence of the Lambs 2.
So
you know?
How did she get the hamster on the plane before they discovered she can't have a hamster
she
on a plane?
She carried it in her bag.
In her purse?
She put the lotion on its skin. And then she flushed it. She flushed it in the blue water. The little. Can you imagine this poor hamster like holding
did
on to the
live?
Lip? Like, no, no. Please,
did
I love you.
Did it live?
You.
It died?
No, yeah. I'm sure it's buried deep in a pit by a crater.
Is this the same lady that keeps being able to get on airplanes
and they never
figure out why? It's a different lady?
Different lady.
Well, remember we did the story years ago about bringing your cat or dog on the train here, the subway?
Yeah, the train lady with the monkey
or something?
There's a monkey
Right. Listen.
Yeah, what happened to her? She won, right? I think she got therapy dogs on Metra.
Yeah, that's true. There are certain...
People love their pets, you know?
There's like a scam, I think, about... People go to veterinarians saying, please certify my dog.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Certify my dog as a therapy dog.
Well, or behavioral, you know, pet behaviorists will certify it.
Listen, it's easier to get a pet on an airplane than it is to get health care in this country right now if you're an individual. So I'm just going to leave it at that.
Okay, here we go to the economy once again.
Dun, dun, dun.
All right, so what's going on with that Obamacare?
First of all, there is no Obamacare. What there is an Illinois exchange that has collapsed. And because Speaker Ryan, in your words, should be in the fetal position blowing into a paper bag after 7 years couldn't fix this debacle. Mm-hmm. What we have for folks in Illinois and across the country, if you're an individual like myself and you lose your health insurance, what do you do as an individual to get health insurance? Well, you don't have access to go to, let's say, an Aetna or Blue Cross Blue Shield if you have a pre-existing condition, and they list everything as a pre-existing condition. So there's one option, and that's the exchange, which Blue Cross Blue Shield offers an HMO, and they work to deal out with Northwestern. They assign you to the Hospital of DuPage, which refers you to the downtown campus, which is technically Northwestern, and you're assigned a group of doctors. But the majority of doctors are not in that network, so I can't go to any of my doctors. I'm paying an exorbitant amount of money, like a mortgage payment, to go to nobody that I want to go to. I have access to a small group, but no other major hospital. And if I get hit by a cab in New York City, I better find my way to an emergency room and not go to any other doctor because I'm not covered. So you pay an exorbitant amount of money for almost no coverage or access, and that's your only option as an individual.
Why didn't they just leave it alone?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's easier to get a pet therapy dog on an airplane or a train than it is to get health care in this country.
Or get a suburban teaching job.
Exactly. This is why people don't get divorced. Because they have to keep their health care.
There you go.
Right?
Or people get married. Because they need health care.
Okay. Anybody? Lauren Cohen
is
single.
I need to get married.
She's gorgeous. She needs health care. Come on, guys.
That sounds really pathetic, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't. No, I'm just trying to bid. It's like the radio bid.
Let's break
for weather. Here's Lauren now looking at me. Weather and traffic on the fives.
Got to get to my notebook. I got to scribble something down.
So,
How are you guys?
Good. We're good. Everything's good here.
How's the fam?
It really sucks here. It really does. We're moving out
depressing.
Of the building.
I was just thinking about that because I'm looking out and it's beautiful view. And can I just ask this weird question? So when you move, where it says Chicago Tribune on this beautiful building, when you walk through the city, you see it. It's kind of like taking one of the presidents off, Rushmore, Mount Rushmore. If you take the Tribune embedded in the stone, what's going to happen? Is that still going to be there?
Outside?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Everything outside on the main tower is landmarked, so it can't be taken away or altered.
Even the little stone from the Church of the Cave of the Nativity.
Nativity, yeah.
Which no one can see because
it's inside. But
it's inside, but like away from, security guards won't let you.
You get juiced up when you come in here. You feel like the whole sense of journalism.
Don't you?
I do. Mm-hmm. And so now where are you? Are you in some other concrete building somewhere
with
no views?
We're going to the Prudential Plaza. That's where we're going.
Which is that building is the complete opposite of this building. This building is about, the purity of thought and the right of free speech.
The First Amendment.
And it's all engraved in the building. That building is a monument to capitalism and selling stuff to the highest bidder because they've got on the side of it the Prudential, their old logo. And it's the complete opposite.
You're going to have brand new studios?
Now he's going, we're going to a different, but we're going to the Prudential Plaza. They're going.
We're
going to
be at the Illinois Center, but on their furthest east building right next to the Swiss Hotel overlooking Wacker Drive.
Is there a good restaurant in the Swiss Hotel?
I have no idea. You would know that better than I would.
I don't know. Mm. We'll have to find. We're living in a food desert here, but closer there where we're going, closer on Michigan Avenue, I hear there's remember that place that.
The scrappy little place that's. Troubled. I don't understand how
Which one?
You're talking about the one that's across from
the protein bar place?
Oh, yeah.
Across, on Lake Street. Remember, Lauren's like, you could go there and get some green drink and.
Yeah.
Remember, she was always trying to get me to do stuff like that.
We had that great show where we brought in the vegan food for you, put you on a vegan diet.
She was good.
Yeah, Karen Calabrese.
I'm on a vegan diet now, but only for this week. It's like an old Orthodox thing. It's like, no, nothing with a backbone. I'm like, okay, so I guess I can have lobster. That really suffer.
They have vegan matcha muffins at the cafe downstairs here in the Tribune Tower.
They do?
Where I was waiting for you and taking notes and reading up about the news so that I was prepared to talk about any news-related thing. Little did I know.
Jokes on you.
That we'd be talking about my being single.
Yeah.
So where are you guys going, Jeff?
That building.
By the Swiss Hotel.
Yeah, it's part of the Illinois Center.
Are they going to have like a showcase studio on the ground floor?
No, our studios will be on the 17th floor. They're building a brand facilities right now. Walls just went in,
so you'll have a nice view.
Yeah, we'll have a great view. We'll have our east studio, which will look down the river towards the Wolf Point, and then we'll have our west studio, which will look down the river towards Wolf Point, and our east studio, which will look towards the lake itself.
Why do you have to be downtown anyway? Why couldn't we be on like Grand Avenue?
You could be in your pajamas at home doing this, John.
Every other day I am. But yeah, we could be like on the west side someplace, right?
Yeah, we could. I mean, I don't know. It's
I'm not talking about Lawndale. I mean, it's nice. No offense, Lawndale.
Sure. But,
I'm talking about like West Loop or something. You didn't have to be down.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a couple of reasons. One of the reasons being that we feed to a transmitter via essentially a satellite receiver. Out in the suburbs, and so it's easier to do it from the top of the Willis Tower than it is from some lowly tower out there. And it's easier to run our signal back to the Willis Tower. If you've noticed, the majority of radio stations in the city are centrally located kind of around the Willis Tower because a lot of our transmitters are there. Same thing with kind of TV. That's why TV's down here, too.
Except for
Jeff is like a scientist.
Isn't he?
He's always been like the scientist, chemist.
I know. Like,
he knows everything.
Drizzle, drazzle, drazzle, throm. Time for this one to come home. He is like Mr. Wizard, isn't he?
He is. He is.
He can send
He's
us on little adventures. Me and
Lauren.
Adventures in Time. Just like that cartoon. I love that cartoon. No one remembers it. I'm
yeah,
so old now.
You are. It's all right.
But he's like Mr. Science, like, right? Like,
are you married yet? Did you get married?
Not yet. No, not yet. We're working on it. We're saving our pennies
for that elopement.
Christine,
Christine. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. We have our cats. You know, we got their outfits already picked out for you know. But that's about as far as we've gotten.
So when you guys were talking about cafes, you tweeted something yesterday, John. You were coffee bar somewhere in your new digs.
I said I have a new office. I was at the house was uproar. Betty was doing some spring cleaning time, sure, et cetera. And so I left and I went and I said, I got to go someplace. And Spiro says, oh, Dad, why don't you go for the Starbucks? But if I go to our Starbucks in our village, I know everybody there, you know?
Oh, I see. You were in your suburb. I thought you were down by your new offices here.
No.
And that's
I
what
said
you were
new
saying.
Office.
Oh.
I took a picture because I had a nice sandwich. You would be happy. I had a salmon patty, and
wow,
I didn't have the bread. Okay, and a little and some iced tea with Splenda.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
that's a lie. Okay, but I did put sugar in it. But and had that, and I was at a diner on LaGrange, J.C. George's, and I wrote a column there, and it was so nice to be able to write there. People come, hon, would you want some more coffee, hon? You know, hey, hon, you want some more coffee? You know that.
Right.
Like a diner. And you sit there quietly and took a picture. And people, I guess there's not as many diners as there used to be.
No, because you've got all the sort of Starbucks or the, you know, cafes Panera, where you can get internet and people are hanging out there. Now they want to serve wine in Starbucks. Did that ever happen?
Oh, that's happening. Yeah that happens.
What?
Yep. Oh, yeah. There are like after hours like at Starbucks where they do, you know, wine after hours and they do little food, finger food things and... Yeah, that's the whole thing.
You've been married so long, John, you don't know.
I have to say, Starbucks, and I have friends who work at Starbucks, like the guy in my village, and he's like, you always say our snacks suck. Because I guess I did say it once in a column. Starbucks, I would go there, but your snacks suck. And it's true. Their snacks suck. I can't say that three times
yeah,
in a row.
Yeah, geez, careful.
Jesus, what's wrong with me? Put some pebbles in my mouth. No offense, Starbucks, but really...
They've gotten better,
though.
They have
some good snacks, damn it.
I think they have a
big variety now of food that you can eat.
Yeah, they've done a much better job. But when you were doing it, they kind of first launched into that, and it was all this, like, you know, quick frozen and all of a sudden refreshed, you know, warmed on site kind of stuff. And now it's a little more thoughtful.
And at least you can get points so that you can then maybe eventually get a free coffee.
See, there she is. She knows how to do it. I don't see. You know how to do that
Groupon,
stuff.
Coupon.
Yeah.
The only place that doesn't do that kind of stuff is Whole Foods. But now that they're owned by Amazon, they're going to turn into the Amazon Prime delivery. So you said, was Spiros home?
Yeah, he's home.
How are the kids? How are
good.
The boys? How's
the boys
soccer?
Are good. Soccer was good. Peter's finishing up his, they're both, they're almost seniors now.
Wow.
Yeah. It's just, you know, the time flies. How's, Joey, right? Your nephew?
Joey's a sophomore at Northwestern, and my niece, thank you for remembering, Alex is about to graduate Tufts in computer science engineering. She's being wooed because, you know, young girls or women in engineering are a hot commodity right now.
Yeah.
And she was telling me the places she's being wooed and the salaries being offered. And
oh,
I'm like,
my gosh.
I'm like, what? Like, what?
Out to Silicon Valley and
everywhere.
Everywhere. I mean, yeah. You know, she's in Boston right now, but all across the country. We're hoping she ends up back here in Chicago. But I was thinking about that. And when, you know, my first job was like $20,000, you know, one-man band.
You were out in some western town.
Right. Fresno, California. I was just going to say. It was
cutting
like,
your own tape, right?
Yes.
And what was it?
Living off peanut butter and jelly.
And ramen.
And ramen.
I remember
I don't
that.
Think ramen was. Were you ever?
No, I was a Carl's Jr. gal, or the one Carl's Jr. The one time I had Taco Bell, I threw up for like 3 days.
One thing I remember clearly was the complaint of the female news person, people, that there's no bathrooms to use.
True.
Right?
Right.
You're out there, like, waiting for Clive and Bundy to pull a gun on some fed or something, whatever it is.
Channel 2's Dorothy Tucker and I used to talk about we should write a book on the places I've peed in. Because as it's really much easier for a guy, whether it's sure. a weather story or a bad area, or most people don't know you're in a news truck and you're stuck with the mast up, and whether it's a snowstorm or a SWAT action, you can't go anywhere. It's a lot easier for maybe a man to figure out what to do in that situation than it is for a woman.
And you can't, like, knock on some weird random door, like, please, can I use your washroom? Because you don't know if it's, you know, like the guy from Silence of the Lambs with a hole in his basement. You know?
You either did that or you held it to the point where you have scar tissue today. And I know of one journalist who you both know of, but I'm not going to say her name on the air, who brought bottles into the truck, and she would pee in the truck.
I can't even.
Wasn't popular among the photographers.
I'm going to pass out.
I can imagine. All right, John's getting a flush.
Maybe we should go back to politics.
She does this too, because I always tease her about the personal stuff, and then she does this, like, goes DEFCON 2 on me, and then I'm like,
you brought it up.
To be fair, you did bring it up, John. Yeah, you let us down this path.
I did. Now please help me.
Swim out of the gutter.
Oh, man.
It's going downstream pretty fast. Anyway, so how about that governor's race?
Okay, the chocolate milk thing. Let's do that.
Oh boy, was that Bosco sauce that we used to? What was the Bosco sauce we used to mix with our milk?
Yeah, Bosco.
It was Bosco, right? Okay.
For a rounder, it would be chocolate Ovaltine with 10 vitamins.
But this was the whole concept was whoever was organizing this, that was his shtick, that he goes around and he does that. And so the governor was roped into it. Is that true?
Yeah. So the guy who, for those who aren't familiar with the story, the Hyatt Group, you know, they were doing a diversity training event, and
first of all, those are stupid.
Yeah. They're okay.
And he's African American,
right?
He's got to make a living,
His analogy is that the idea that, look at this, I pour syrup into a glass like it's representing our company, but if we don't do anything about it, we don't try to make people inclusive and mix things up, it just stays at the bottom, and there really is no homogenization. So
does that really resonate with anybody?
Do
they pay this guy?
I don't know. I'm sure he's getting paid.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Once my brother had to go through a diversity thing. They had it in his office, and a woman on whiteboard, big whiteboard, and she wrote in. She said, this is too much. Your culture is in this office is inbred. And she spelled it with a black marker. And I'm telling you, look at this. INBRED. Like in the bread or something. And he stands up and he goes, I'm done. And they all got up and said, I'm done. Because it's like it's a scam, obviously, right? You need diversity coaches to do like chocolate milk tricks.
Was this rehearsed with the governor? Did Governor Rando know this was going to happen?
I'm not sure, but I can't imagine. I'm sure somebody in his communication seems like, oh, hi, it's a big group. Oh, diversity event. Yeah. Oh, perfect. Let's do it. And then they got there and it was started to move on and they didn't research what this guy does. And then next thing you know, he's standing there like, what?
So who is working in the governor's office in PR these days, considering they've rotated so many people?
He has some good people in his government office, you know, Patty Shoes there and others. I think that the governor has to realize that what he does has to come from his core, right? And I don't think that was a smart move to drink the chocolate milk.
No.
Okay. Do you want me to be nice about it? That was a bad move. And it's like Pritzker, too, okay? When I'm still waiting for the plumber, you know, and he bought the house next door.
Took out the toilets.
I'm still waiting for the Pritzker plumber butt crack commercial from somebody, you know, where
And then our friend Pat Brady is going to be standing outside the house again like he was last time.
Pat Brady, because he's with Governor Rauner, would definitely, I think, clearly love to make that Pritzker commercial with the butt cracks. But once you become a punchline.
Yeah.
It's tough, right?
So will this guys be the battle of the billionaires, the predictable, you know, it's predictable it's going to be Pritzker against Rauner. Are we going to have some kind of upset, or you think that's where it's going?
What about Kennedy?
Oh, he's toast.
How?
Well, I mean, running out of money, first of all, that's his problem. Secondly, wasn't at the most recent event.
Back was hurt.
Back was hurting, which, sure, I'm sure it hurt, but he just hasn't had that presence, and his message is wishy-washy. You listen to his commercials, he doesn't come up with any ideas. He just says, I'm the Kennedy, and that was the thing he said he wasn't going to do. He was kind of separating himself from that when he wasn't running with that originally. And all of a sudden, you see these ads where it's harkening back to his Kennedy heritage. So he sounds like he's scrambling. He's forcing the issue here, trying to make headway.
And I think you might win this thing.
I think Biss has a better chance of beating him, beating Pritzker than...
None of them have a real plan.
Here's the thing with Biss. Then it's like a good-looking young Bernie Sanders. You know? I mean, okay, just hold on to your taxes.
Exactly. Oh, no, right. Right? Yeah, I don't mean
that touting the progressive.
Come on, it's Bernie Sanders. Against Bernie, but you know what I mean.
And does Jeannie Ives pull sort of votes away? And what I mean by that is, if, let's say Governor Rauner wins the primary. Are people going to be so disappointed because they were so hopeful? They smoked the hopium, which there's no more to smoke, as you know, and that's your line. Is it become people don't vote? Does this thing turn into a, we couldn't change anything with a Republican businessman governor, now we're not going to vote, nothing's going to change, are we going to bring out more voters this time?
No, I mean, it's a primary. Nobody comes out to vote. I think we get, what is it, 17% is a high watermark primaries?
Disagree. I agree with Lauren here in a way. Smart question, because after the primary, if you're conservative, you're not going to go vote for Rauner.
Right.
The problem is when he didn't have to do this stuff. He did not have to do sanctuary cities. He didn't have to do the abortion on demand. He wanted to get away from Trump, and he wanted to reach out to suburban women, right?
Yep.
And maybe that'll help him, but it's going to hurt him with conservatives, and they're not. And Southern Illinois, forget it. Central Illinois, tough.
But he doesn't need those. I mean, he doesn't need to take him. But look at the math. Look at the math. He carried heavy downstate, but couldn't do enough northern district in Cook County and the collar here to really impact.
He won the election. He beat Pat Quinn with less than 5% of the vote.
But what Jeff, you're saying is, like, for the primary, you think it's going to be low voter turnout. But when we get down to the final two, which I'm just going to say is probably going to be the battle of the billionaires, are people going to be so disillusioned to the point of, you know, why bother?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see
conservatives coming out for – I don't see Rauner exciting the base.
Well, and his whole reason pulling to the left – was thinking, I may get moderate Republicans, I may get independents, I may get some of the Democratic women, and I don't think that's going to happen.
They'll never go with
him. No. Yeah.
Especially if you have a Biss or a Prince, I don't know.
But yeah, we were talking post-primary, that doesn't do him any favors, and there's nobody downstate is going to be like, well, you know, Rauner kind of let us down, so I think I'm going to vote for Pritzker. It's going to be, to Lauren's point, Rauner let us down, and I'm just not going to vote.
Right.
I'm just telling you, I got a weird feeling about this, and I could be wrong, although I was right about Hillary not winning, right? And I think that I just got a strange feeling that Kennedy could do better than we're giving him credit for.
I don't think
there's a lot of volatility among African-American women. I don't think they see Pritzker as their guy. And if you're Rahm Emanuel, you got to worry about this because – you're going to want to think about your own election based on the outcome of this one, right?
Isn't everybody used to, though, at this point, that Rahm Emanuel makes these statements like sanctuary cities to get votes and it's not genuine?
But I don't think I think you're a good point, but I think people don't say the second part. You said the not genuine part. I wonder, I'm supposed to get a poll any day now.
Mm-hmm.
Not Tribune. I don't talk about Tribune polls, but other polls you hear people commission where he's not doing well among Hispanics. After all this Sanctuary City Mayor Zorro stuff.
So that would be interesting because that would be they don't, you know, before it was he wasn't likable and then it's just, is he believable? But then could McCarthy pull it out if he runs?
I don't know.
Paul
what do you
Vallis?
Think? Could McCarthy, is McCarthy going to excite African-Americans in this town?
Not at all.
What do you think?
I think McCarthy has a lot of trouble because I think he's hoping for the momentum of I got thrown under the bus. But at the same point, you got to go back to the very beginning and remember I think I learned this from you. Wasn't it that Jody Weiss had established those tactical teams going into the communities, and McCarthy disbanded them, and we had an increase in the violence and the numbers? He's going to have to go back to that. He's going to have to go back. Well, what did he know during the Laquan McDonald shooting? I mean, he knew things.
To his defense, he was required by law to put the guy on the bench, right, the shooter. Mm-hmm. So he put him on the bench. He couldn't investigate it because that's why they had that other investigative arm. We would have screamed collusion if he had.
Yeah.
But
I think he'll get hit on a lot of those issues, and so I don't know how likable or popular he'll be, but he'll run on the anti-ROM. We've had enough of ROM. And Paul Vallis, I mean, he's just has a bad history of mismanagement and overspending.
Pardon me?
Paul, remember he was in Philly after he was with CPS? Remember he went to Philly and yeah. I covered him there, and he overexpanded and he spent too much money. So as likable as Paul Vallis is, he's always had a problem managing money and fiscal issues, going back to CPS.
I think the opposite, but your take is interesting, but I think the general consensus is that he was a good manager.
In Chicago.
Yeah, and if he ran into problems in Philly, but you say he did.
He did. I mean, he was always a likable guy, you know, and he was mm-hmm. always the first on the playground if there was a shooting and a student. He was always, Paul's a nice guy. Right. He's long-winded when he talks. He's like a runaway train when you're trying to do an interview with him. Right. But it was the fiscal mismanagement that ended in his demise in Philadelphia. So I look at it as, is he going to come up with the fiscal plan? Can he turn enough heads in a mayoral race?
I don't know. I still think, again, we differ on this subject. I think his fiscal, the ability to run the city is his strong suit. Whoever runs against Rahm has to project competence, right? One thing, Rahm's not likable. Nobody likes him. I think even maybe his kids like him, and Amy likes him. And really, if you talk to him off camera, off mic, he's really a personable guy. And when he gets public, he just goes, you know what I mean? It's a different persona.
Now, what about Toni Taxwinkle? Is she done?
Oh, she hates me.
Is she done in politics, guys?
I don't know. I think, is Berrios going to win? Berrios is her boy, right, Jeff?
Indeed, I don't know. That's one of those that you just, I don't know who to pick in that race or who to root for. The people? I think we're all in
trouble.
I don't
know who the people are. You know what I mean? You're just going to have, I think the outcome is going to be more and more taxes, more and more taxes, mm-hmm. more and more taxes, a system that is spiraling out of control. We had Ted Dabrowski of the Wire points on last week, and the way he explained it, I thought he was really a sharp guy and explained it very well. So, Lauren Cohen, will you please come back?
I'd love to come back. Thank you so much for having me. This is fun.
And any guys who want to date her, just do it on your own, okay? I'm not going to be the Yentl of this, all right? For Jeff Carlin, our good friend Lauren Cohen, and me, John Cass, this has been the Chicago Way, and remember, find us on iTunes, give us a review, and we'll have to see if it's a good review, if we, you know, I don't know, can we make a Chicago Way accommodation? Not that I would say so. Talk to you next week.